So when you woke up this morning and you looked outside, I'm sure, like me, you saw all the snow on the ground, even though it was supposed to come yesterday, right? But what came to your mind when you saw all the snow on the ground? Sometimes when we see snow, perhaps we see panic. I don't know about you. I particularly don't like to drive in the snow, especially long distances, right? Maybe around town, that's one thing. Or maybe we see frustration or annoyance because maybe we had plans and now those plans are canceled or they have somewhat changed, right? Or maybe, though, we see delight. Maybe we look outside and we see the snow falling and it's a peaceful scenery, beautiful perhaps to behold, right? But have we ever also considered that maybe a sense of thankfulness also towards snow? Because it's snowing, I thought, well, what does the Bible say about snow, right? You know, why did God ultimately create snow? And I want to talk about some of those things. I want to look at this morning some scriptures on the very subject of snow and what snow, why God created snow, what snow points to sometimes in Scripture that I think is relevant for our lives today. If you have a Bible, open with me to Isaiah chapter 55, and I want to look at verses 8 and 11 starting out. Because the first thing I think to consider ultimately about snow is God provides snow as a blessing for us. Yes, you know, it does bring hardship, and we'll talk about that here in a moment, but at the same time, it also brings great benefits to us. Snow, yes, is seen as an inconvenience. It can shut everything down, right? But in the text of Isaiah 55, I want you to look at verse 10. The Bible says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Did you see that? Snow is mentioned with rain, and in a part of that, though, it provides something essential, food for us, right? I remember as a kid, rain was an inconvenience for me as a kid. Why? Because when it rained, you couldn't go outside. You couldn't go play, right? Well, I didn't realize at the time and in the moment as a kid that if we didn't get rain, probably would eventually die, right? Why? Because if you don't have rain, you don't have crops, you don't have crops, you don't have food, you don't have food, you eventually, you know, don't exist anymore. Snow is in that same category, by the way. In fact, one of the things in researching this, I learned some things about snow and its benefits in harmony with verse 10 right here. Notice snow actually acts as a natural reservoir. Because it slowly melts and soaks into the ground, it actually recharges rivers and streams and wells and groundwater and soil moisture for crops. Snow, when it forms, and it actually acts like an insulating kind of blanket over the ground. And so with the really, really cold temperatures, actually, snow can protect seeds and roots and winter crops from the extreme cold. It helps prevent deep soil freezing, root damage and erosion from winter winds. One thing that I've always found interesting about snow is right after a snow, you go outside and the air is as clean as it'll ever be. Because snow is something that improves the air quality. It pulls the particles out of the air, dust, smoke, pollen, and even some pollutants, and eventually is absorbed ultimately into the ground. It contributes in other words, as a cleanser to groundwater also at the same time. It reduces insect population. By the way, isn't that a blessing? You know, hard winters can actually lead to fewer mosquitoes and then some pests that can destroy crops and things like that. And so snow has a lot of benefits for us, believe it or not. It does a lot of good for us to get snow. And in the text of Isaiah 55, God is speaking of His will and sometimes our inability to understand His will. Go back, for instance, to verse 8. Notice it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are your thoughts." This is, to me, one of the more powerful passages in the book of Isaiah, because God says, listen, you don't understand always what I'm planning to do in life. You don't understand my ways and my wisdom. Why? Because God's wisdom and God's thoughts are far greater than some things we can ever comprehend. And just as, in other words, as we kind of look at verse 10, as he talks about how God gives us the snow, and the snow sustains us for our livelihood, right, as well as the rain. It gives bread ultimately to the eater, those who need food, right? So it is, verse 11, shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, and it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I purpose or please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. By the way, in context, this is speaking of God's blessing us, or God blessing his people. And snow, in other words, I think is a reminder that God's word and will is superior to ours. And just as we don't always understand all of the benefits for snow, we live in the moment and may see it as an annoyance, right? So as we look at the bigger picture, we see that it is a blessing. And it is the same thing with the wisdom of God and ultimately the word of God. Long term, we seek God's will and God's word for our life. A blessing. It's a blessing to be able to do that. Number two, let's turn to another passage. Go over to Proverbs chapter 31 with me. Proverbs chapter 31 in verse 21. And it's in this context that the word snow is mentioned again, but it's speaking of, in context, the excellent wife or the virtuous woman here in this passage. And, you know, beginning in verse 10, all the way down through the end of the chapter of this passage of Proverbs, it speaks of kind of a blueprint into the admirable things the virtuous wife or the worthy woman has as she has concern for her husband and concern for her family more than anything. But in one of those descriptions of describing her, in verse 21, the Bible says, she's not afraid of snow. For, why? For all her household is clothed with scarlet. She must have been a Buckeye fan, right? You know, they're all clothed in scarlet, you know? Actually, the word scarlet here is kind of a reference for a wool that was dyed, perhaps, with what we would consider somewhat the color, scarlet color today. But it was also a wool that was basically much thicker, double the thickness, ultimately, of what we would say regular wool. We don't really comprehend, I think, the idea of what life was like before electricity. Now, I say that, hopefully we don't lose power, by the way. I'm praying that we don't lose power. But before electricity, I mean, how you heated your home, the readily supply of clothing and the cheap availability of clothing was something that, you know, they didn't really see as we see ultimately today. And so clothes were often made by hand, which is a long process, right? And an expensive one, too, as a result of that. Homes were heated by a fire of some sort, right? And so it's kind of one of those where if you have to heat your home and you have to have the right amount of clothing, winters were hard. And there is a sense here that the Bible is saying the excellent wife, she cares for her family. And one of the things she does is she prepares for the cold winters. She's not afraid of the cold winter. She's not afraid of the snow. Why? Because she makes sure that she does her part in having sufficient clothing. She makes sure that in the wintertime, no one goes cold, ultimately, is the idea here. So the second thing, in other words, we learn about snow is the first is God provided it as actually as a blessing for us. But the second thing is, yes, it does bring hardship with the wintertime, and it is something also, though, to be prepared for. Now, let me give you two more, actually. The other two are not specifically in reference to snow and its benefits, but how snow is often used as a description in the Bible, actually. For example, I want you to go with me to Mark chapter 9 in verse 3. Because the third thing that I learn about snow is often used in regards to its color. color and its brightness in reference to the deity and glory of Jesus Christ. Three times in the Bible, in the New Testament, Jesus is described in his garment or his hair as being white as snow. Now, we oftentimes ask and perhaps wonder, what did Jesus actually look like? We don't know really what Jesus looks like, other than the fact that, for instance, Isaiah chapter 53 talks about he has no form or comeliness. There was, in other words, as you read that passage there, there was nothing about Jesus that would attract people to him. He was not some, guy that had an appearance that just drew people to him just because of his appearance. You understand that? He wasn't some bodybuilder or anything like that, right? He was probably just an average guy, the average-looking Jewish man in the first century. There was nothing that stuck out about his own appearance, his earthly appearance, that would draw people to him. I think that's the point of Isaiah 53. But Jesus revealed himself to be more than a man, to be the Son of God by his miracles, by his sinless character, by his fulfillment of numerous Old Testament prophecies, and ultimately by his resurrection from the dead, right? But let me mention one other thing for the apostles in the first century. Jesus here in Mark chapter 9 and verse 3 reveals himself to be the Son of God on the Mount of Transfiguration by transforming his appearance. Notice the Bible says after 6 days in verse 2, Peter, James, and John, Jesus took them and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, or perhaps we would say transformed before them. And his clothes, the Bible says, became shining, exceedingly white like snow. You know, when you think about the color white, we can say with its brightness, there are different, technically different shades of it, right? And when the Bible wants to describe the glory of Jesus and the garment that he was had been transfigured into, it was so white that it was shining, and it was white as white could get. It was white, notice, like snow. Such as, notice, no launderer on earth can whiten them. In other words, it was so white, we try to get clothing as white as we can, right? There was no way that a man could get a garment that white and that glowing and that shining. And so when Jesus, in other words, revealed himself in the many ways as why he's the Son of God, one of the ways was he became white like snow in his appearance and in his clothing. And by the way, I've always found that interesting. When Peter, in writing the book of 2 Peter years later, when he spoke about how, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, he tells his writers, listen, we didn't make this stuff up about Jesus. We didn't follow these cleverly devised fables and folklore and things like that. Oh, no, no, no. He says, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And one of the things that Peter says as to why he believed Jesus was the Son of God was not just his resurrection from the dead, but at that moment on the Mount of Transfiguration, as you keep reading there in 2 Peter chapter 1. We know that he was the Son of God, in other words, because of how he transfigured himself. By the way, those two other times that Jesus declared himself in his glorious appearance, it was in his post-resurrection in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 3, where again snow is used, where Jesus' garment was as white as snow. And then finally, the last time we see Jesus in the book of Revelation, where he appears to the apostle John and reigning in heaven in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 14, where it says that his hair was as white as snow. His eyes were like flames of fire. There we see the picture of the true Son of God, right? And so snow is used in its brightness and in its color in reference to describe the glorious appearance and the divinity or deity of Jesus Christ. Finally, number 4. Snow is also used in Scripture of and the aspect of being free from sin, in particularly not being sinless as much as we are forgiven of our sins. And there are two passages I want you to think about. I want you to go back to two passages in the Old Testament. One of them is Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Some of you are familiar with this passage. It's somewhat of a memory verse, I think, that we may have learned as kids. But in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, Isaiah is calling the people of his day to repentance, to change from their wicked ways, right? And in verse 18, the Bible says this, "Come now," Isaiah says, "let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow." You hear that? The Bible, in other words, kind of refers to our life, and this isn't the only place, and our life is kind of like a garment. Our sins stain the garment, and every day we walk around with a stained garment, right? Nobody likes to do that. I know my kids, oftentimes if I take them shoe shopping, I've always had my kids, you know what they want? They always want the clean white pair of shoes. I think that's a bad idea for a kid, and here's why. And I usually tell my kids, those white pair of shoes, they look really nice right now, right? But how long you gonna keep them clean? And are you, if they get dirty, able to clean them and make them look good as new? Most likely you can't. And that's the thing about a white pair of shoes, right? The first rain you walk out into where there's mud and everything, or the first time you walk out in the grass and if it's just been cut, that white is stained and it's stained for good. White shoes are very hard to keep clean. I usually tell my shoes, don't get white shoes. You know, my kids sometimes, oh, look at this sweatshirt, this hoodie sweatshirt, right? And it's all white. It looks good right now. But what's it going to look like after one meal, right? And if you wash it, are you going to be able to really get the stains out of it, right? Or will there forever be some kind of blemish or stain on that white sweatshirt? And now it doesn't look really good because that stain is very noticeable. And that's what our lives are like. Our lives are full of sin. And we have dirty garments. I have found in the world the way people deal with their sins and their dirty garments is they live in denial. What sin are you talking about? I don't have a stained garment. Or sometimes maybe they'll admit that, yes, their garment is stained, their life is full of sin, but it's always somebody else's fault, not their own. So we blame others for our sins. Or maybe we have a stain, but we try to rationalize and justify it, right? And you know, it's okay, in other words, for our life to be stained and then not do anything with trying to wash that stain out. Or maybe how we deal with the sin in our life is just some kind of distraction or escape. Sometimes people seek to medicate themselves with the guilt of sin in their life through some kind of addiction or enslavement. And that's not just substance, by the way. That's sexual sins. That's being a workaholic. Or maybe that's being addicted to entertainment. Or maybe, you know, the way we deal with the stains of sin in our life is just to keep putting and piling on those stains, right? But at the end of the day, the stains of sin are still there. In Isaiah chapter 1, the Bible says, you want your garment, your life, to be white as snow once again? Oh, that's not possible. It is. It is. Come, let us reason together. And one of the things, in other words, that Isaiah is saying is, and I think some of the things implied, is he's calling them to repentance. And repentance, by the way, implies a bunch of things. It implies the lordship of Jesus in our life. Well, what's that mean? Meaning, God has a right to tell me how to live. If Jesus is Lord, he has a right to say what's right and wrong and to decide and determine that. And because he's Lord, Repentance carries the idea of changing the mind. In other words, I no longer believe this. My mind has been transformed by a renewal mind, according to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. In other words, I now fashion what I believe. I no longer believe wrong, and I now fashion what I believe according to the Lordship of Jesus, and I develop His worldview. I have a change of life, ultimately. Repentance is also actions at the same time. I understand that change is possible. It's liberating, and I'm changing into something better and not worse, right? I'm changing into something that I'm committed to doing in reliance on God and prayer, and realize, too, that change takes time also. All of those things are summed up in the concept of, hey, do you want to have the garment or the life that is forgiven and that is white as snow? Repentance is what Isaiah is saying. Reasoning together, and it's through that repentance is forgiven. That, in one sense, we would say to a certain degree is our part, right? But we also must remember one other thing, and I want you to turn with me to one last passage, and that's Psalm chapter 51. And in that last passage, I want you to consider that we must consider that in order for our garments to be white as snow, God had to do His part. You know, in the context of Psalm 51, we would say in one sense, this was David's big sin, right? And speaking in earthly terms, yes, there are some sins that are bigger than others, right? Murder is more severe penalty than a speeding ticket, right? Yeah. But sin is still sin according to James 2 as far as being separated from God. But David is dealing with his affair with Bathsheba and murder of his loyal soldier Uriah, the Hittite. And in Psalm chapter 51, after David has been confronted with his sin, this psalm is an expression of his guilt and his wrong. But one of the things that David says in verse 7 was this. He expresses his desire to be forgiven when he says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me," he says, and I'll listen to this, "and I shall be whiter than snow." You see that? "Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Here's the thing, though. At this time, David would have never had that official forgiveness because his sins was rolled to the cross. And in fact, it's not until Jesus died on the cross that David's sins were ultimately forgiven, and this is the same thing with us. In fact, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible talks about to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. I'll tell you something, when we think of snow, we can also think of God's forgiveness, in other words. God has forgiven me of my sins. And you know something, as a Christian, every day is a new day, according to 1 John chapter 1. We don't have to live in the past. We don't have to walk around in our life as our life is as a dirty garment and then try to deal with it in all of the wrong ways. Oh, no, no, no. Our garments are made clean every day by the blood of Jesus. For as we confess our sins, the Bible says He is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every day is a new day as a Christian. When we sin, when we don't do God's will, we have a God that is willing to forgive us and continually make us as white as snow. I'm not saying that it's wrong to see snow as a cause for concern, because yeah, it is. But it's also, remember this, when we look at the Scriptures and we consider snow in the Bible, remember it's a gift from God. It's a gift from God, and it is something to be prepared for. But also, though, the color snow, the whiteness of snow, points to the divinity of Jesus Christ. It points to His glorious appearance. But it also stands for our purity as Christians. Not that we're perfect and without sin, but that how God, in spite of our sins, continually forgives us and cleanses us of our sins, and makes us white as snow. We're going to have a song right now, and it's kind of a song before the Lord's Supper. And I want you to think about this song and think about, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, in relation to the concept or the idea that because of His blood, from Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, our sins are washed away, and He makes us white as snow.